Matthew 12, 24 to 29. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." So at least these Pharisees, they knew that demons had a king, had a ruler, had a prince, Beelzebub. You know, it simply means Lord of Flies. That's the title of the devil. He's Beelzebub, he's the Lord of Flies. It's not a name to give to your child, please. But Jesus knew their thoughts and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, is brought to destruction, is brought to ruins. And every city or house divided against itself, it will not stand." So he's talking about the kingdom of Satan. And when he talks about a city or a house, he's using a metaphor to explain the kingdom of the devil. So it still means the same thing. He talks about the kingdom, about the city, about the house. He's talking about the same thing. He's talking about the kingdom of Beelzebub. Now, verse number 26, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. If Satan expels Satan, he is divided against himself. So he tells you, it is impossible for Satan to fight himself. It's impossible for the devil to stand against himself. It's impossible for the devil to resist himself. So what is he saying? Satan does not fight Satan. What is he telling us? The kingdom of the devil is one. The kingdom of Satan is united. The kingdom of darkness is orderly in its darkness. It's very organized in its evil. Satan, he will not cast out Satan. Satan is not divided against himself. Now it says, if Satan were divided against himself, how then would his kingdom stand? It tells you that it's impossible. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. So the issue of casting out demons, which is called exorcism, the Jews, they knew about it. It's not like it was a new thing that the Lord was bringing to them, the issue of casting out of devils. They already knew, because it says, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? That means they were casting them out. They were casting devils out. But this casting of demons, because Satan cannot cast Satan. Satan is not divided against himself, otherwise his kingdom would not stand. What is it trying to tell you? Then these sons, these people that were doing exorcism, it was just one of the devil's theatrics, one of his dramas. It was not for real. The real deliverance, the real casting out of devils, is the one that came with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and was introduced by him. That's the real one. Therefore, now it says, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, please, that is key. Please, that is key. Deliverance is not fun and game. It is not fun and games. Deliverance is real. Deliverance is real. It is not a pastime. You know, not something that we do when we are bored and we want to be entertained. Deliverance is done by the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is holy. The real deliverance, the true deliverance, the real casting out of demons, the real expelling of demons is done by the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. He began telling them about the kingdom of Satan. Now he's telling them about the kingdom of God. What is he telling them? The real casting out of demons, it is kingdom versus kingdom. The real casting out of demons, it is kingdom versus kingdom. It is power versus power. It is authority versus authority. So it's not fun and games. It is not fun and games. The real deliverance, There are many people that are doing deliverance. Everyone is doing it, but those are theatrics of the devil. Those are the deceptions, the tricks, the schemes of Satan to deceive people, to dupe them. It does not mean that that is the real deliverance. That's the fun and the games that the devil is providing. Those are the theatrics. That's entertainment. That's deception that the devil is doing. Verse number 29, it says, "Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods?" He's still talking about the kingdom of Satan. He's speaking metaphorically here. The devil is pictured as a strong man and his house, that is his kingdom. How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Right? There is a stronger one. So there ought to be a stronger one than the strong man. There ought to be one more powerful than the strong man. There ought to be one from a superior kingdom than the kingdom of the strong man. And who is this one? Jesus. Who is this one? I'd like you to take a look at the word enter. That's active verb, enter. That denotes proactiveness. How can one enter? Enter, church. That's a verb that is active. When we're dealing with the issue of deliverance, we have to be determined about this. It is something that we have to do. We have to go. It's not about being passive. It's about being active. Can you see that? How can one enter? That's an active verb. It is something that we have to do. When you talk about deliverance, it's something that we have to do. Listen to me. If a demon is not confronted and not commanded to go out, it will not leave. It will not leave. I'd like us to look at this a bit. You see it in 1 John 3:8 and Acts 10:38. The proactiveness when it comes to the issue of deliverance, when it comes to the issue of us Christians dealing with demons. Listen, spirits will not go when we are passive. We'll be very lovely Christians, very humble Christians, very civil Christians, but we'll be lovely, humble, and civil with spirits wreaking havoc in our lives. Because it's the issue of going. It's the issue of entering. That's an issue of doing. It's an issue of being active, proactive. It's not an issue of being passive. 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's active, that's not passive. All right? "That he might destroy the works of the devil." How? Acts 10:38. How God anointed, now we're answering the how. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Right? He went about. That's active. That's proactive. He went about. He went about. What did he go about doing? Destroying the works of the devil. He could not have destroyed the works of the devil if he sat on his hands and did absolutely nothing. And it's the same for you and for me today. He says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You see, those who were oppressed by the devil with different kinds of sicknesses and diseases, they were there. But until Jesus went out, until he went out to do it, they could not be set free. They could not be delivered. They're oppressed of the devil. Still following the same thought. in Luke chapter number 10, verses 1, 17, 18, and 19. Luke 10, 1, 17, 18, and 19. We are following the same thought. We are following the same thought. Enter, go, enter, go. Step into the enemy's territory. Go. There are people that are oppressed, that are captives. What? You know, captives means prisoners. There are prisoners. In order to deliver the prisoners, you have to go to the enemy's territory. You have to go to the prison and deliver them. You cannot deliver them from a distance. You cannot deliver them from afar. You have to go. That's why he says, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to do this thing. Came to disturb the devil. He came to ruin his kingdom. He came to destroy his kingdom. Now, this is the mandate that we as the church and the people of the church and the children of God and the sons and daughters of God, this is our mandate. Mandate that we were given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke 10 and 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. All right? That is key, verse number one, right? To understand what happens next, starting from verse number 17. Then the 70 returned. Remember, they were sent out on a mission. Now the Bible says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Remember, they went. Those that are oppressed of the devil were there. He sent them to the prison itself. They went. The Lord is always proactive in his dealings, in his doings, when it comes to the kingdom of darkness. The Lord is always proactive in his doings, in his dealings, when it comes to the kingdom of darkness. The Lord is always proactive. Lord, they return and they are full of joy. They say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What? Why? Why? How were the demons subject to them? They were casting them out. They were casting devils by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. They were casting them out. Listen, no demon is going to be subject to anyone who has no authority and power over it. They are subject. And remember what he says of a strong man. He says, unless one binds the strong man, binds the strong man, unless one comes and overpower. So if there's a strong man, there must be a stronger man. And the one to deal with the strong man is one who is stronger than the strong man. But the stronger one, when he comes, he overpower and binds. It's giving us a picture of how to fight in the spirit the spiritual enemies, not flesh and blood, but spiritual enemies that are arrayed against us. We go overpower and bind and then take what is yours. Can you see that? And take what is yours. This is what this 70 did. They went about doing the business of the Lord. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. These, they did exactly the same thing, and the Lord was with them because he had sent them out. I say because he had sent them out. You have to be sent out by Jesus Christ to be able to disturb the kingdom of darkness. They surrendered, they were sent out. Now he says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, in answer to verse number 17, in answer to the action of verse number 17, he says, and the Lord said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Hallelujah. What is the meaning of this? Nothing overthrows the devil like does deliverance. Listen, they are saying, Lord, they came back with rejoicing that the demons were subject to them. And the Lord, in response to that, he says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from the sky. Why? There is nothing that overthrows, that overcomes the devil like does deliverance. Says, I saw him falling. This event, they were overthrowing Satan. And notice, they went into his territory. They went into his place and began to overpower him, to bind him and plunder him. They plundered him. The Lord says, I saw him falling because they plundered him. They plundered him, church. Nothing overthrows the devil like does deliverance. This is the reason, I think, this is the reason why the subject or the teaching on deliverance is so contaminated. That's the work of the enemy. It's so contaminated. Satan knows that there is nothing that overthrows him. There's nothing that overpowers him. There's nothing that overcomes him like does true deliverance. There is deliverance, but there's also true deliverance. Even the Lord Jesus Christ was telling us that. He says to the Pharisees, even your sons are casting out devils. Now he says, by whom? You are saying, I am casting out devils by the prince, by the king of demons, by Beelzebub. But by whom? Because your sons are also casting out. So by whom are they casting out? Satan is afraid of true deliverance. I say Satan is afraid of true deliverance. Please, key is true deliverance. Not just deliverance, but true deliverance. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. That's metaphor for demons. Scorpions and serpents, that's metaphor. That's metaphor. And that metaphor, you know how deadly serpents are. You know how deadly scorpions are. We know that. So it's a metaphor to tell you that this warfare is serious. That these enemies are really deadly. Demons are deadly. It's not fun and games. It's not entertainment. Demons are deadly. Demons are deadly. They've got a lot of people 6 feet under. Demons are serious. They've got a lot of people on wheelchairs. They've got a lot of people blind. They've got a lot of people deaf. They've got a lot of people mute. How many divorces? How many divorces have been orchestrated by demons? These are serpents and scorpions indeed. Just gives a picture, speaking metaphorically, but it gives a picture. A picture. Some of you know people that have done matric, and 20 years later, they've never found a job. 20 years later, with matric, 20 years later, no job. They're deadly. Serious matter. I say serious matter. Serpents and scorpions. You need to ponder on that. It's not fun and games. Something to play around with. It's not the fun and games that the devil provide, deceiving people as though people are being delivered. Satan is able to make demons manifest in a place as though it's deliverance, but it's not. Only to deceive people. They say, oh, did you see today? Did you hear today? No, that was not deliverance. That was just the devil deceiving. The Lord told us Satan cannot cast out Satan. If the kingdom of the devil, says Satan, is not divided against himself, if he were, his kingdom would not stand. And we know that the kingdom of Satan is standing very nicely today. So it tells you he's not divided against himself. Isn't it interesting? There is so much order in the kingdom of darkness. Can we say the same thing about church? Church. In the kingdom of the devil, and please notice, everything the devil knows, he learned it from God. Remember, he was kicked out of heaven because he wanted to establish his own kingdom. Remember, he said he wanted to be like God. He says, I will be like the Most High. So when he was kicked out of heaven, he knows God has a kingdom. Now he also started his own kingdom. God has a kingdom in heaven. Satan also started his own kingdom below the heaven of God. and he knows God has a kingdom also here on earth. And the devil also, he started his own kingdom here on earth where demons are. And they are ruling the roost. Everything he saw. Now the devil knows how organized God's kingdom is. That's why his kingdom is organized. He learned it from the Lord. There's order. There is structure. There is descending order of hierarchy. Descending, you know, from top to bottom. There's descending order of hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There is descending order of hierarchy in the kingdom of Satan. You find that in Ephesians 6, verse number 12. Descending order of hierarchy. The kingdom of darkness is so effective because it is so organized. In church, nobody wants to be told anything. In church, someone reads the Bible and they don't want to be told anything. You see, that's why I always say to people, please learn to differentiate between church and the kingdom of God. Two different things. In the kingdom, there's absolute order. There is authority in the kingdom of God. Now it says, behold, I give you the power, or rather the authority, to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Listen. Let's go back to context. He is talking here with the 70 that he has sent out two by two. And then they came back to give a report back. Now, what he's saying in verse number 19, he's saying to people that he has chosen and sent out on his mission. What he's saying in verse number 19 is not for everybody. It's only for people that are under submission. Under submission of Jesus Christ. Who are living in obedience. The 70 were obeying the orders. They were obeying the instruction given. If I am a disobedient Christian, I may try to do what is talked about in verse number 19, but it might not work, and most likely it will not work. We have to know to learn to stick with context. Stick with context. This authority, this power that was given to the people that were sent out by Jesus. Oh, no, let's not start there. This authority that was given to people, number one, that were chosen by him. Number two, to people that he had sent out. Number three, these are people that went out on a mission. So they were absolutely, totally under submission to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A rogue Christian who does what they want to do, when they want to do, how they want to do, when they want to do, with whom they want to do. They can try to cast out devils like this. It will not happen. What you will find, it will be fun and games. It will be theatrics. It'll just be theatrics. It says, I give you power to confront, to overthrow, and to expel the devil. I give you power to confront. I give you power to overthrow. I give you power to expel the devil. And not only that, but and be in charge. Be in charge. So you go to a territory where Satan is in charge. You begin to confront him. You begin to overpower him. You begin to expel him. And you take over and be in charge. And you take over. If that's where God wants it to be, if that's where God wants you to do business, that's what you have to do. I say that's what you have to do. Hallelujah. I'm fascinated by the word trample. Fascinates me, that word. It means to subdue. It means to subjugate. To exercise power over. It says, exercise power over demons. It means to beat into subjection. Demons are to be beaten by Christians, by the people of God, into submission. Subjugate means, you can check it out on Google. It says bring, I love it. It says to subjugate means bring under domination or control. Bring under domination or control. Now it says, especially by conquest. Christ already overcame. He won the victory. He won the victory, the conquest. Now bring. That's why he says, I give you authority. I give you power. Now Jesus is saying, now bring, subjugate. Now bring under domination. Bring under control by the victory I have given you. The triumph I gave you. Now bring under domination. It's an error when demons are dominating Christians, or any Christian dominated by demons. It's an error. It's a very serious error. What could that indicate? It could well indicate that we are passive. We are not proactive. We are passive. See, unless confronted and commanded to go, a demon might not go. Unless confronted, it's a confrontation. Unless confronted, how can you plunder a strong man's house? Unless you enter, you attack, you go for it, you confront. Demons, unless confronted and commanded to go, they might not leave. Although I'm a Christian, although I'm spirit-filled, although I speak in tongues, although, but they might not go. Kingdom principles. Now we're dealing with the word trample. It means to crush. I give you power to trample upon demons. Go and crush. Go and squash. Go overcome and overpower. Can I say this, church? If you don't trouble the devil, he will trouble you. If you don't trouble him, it's guaranteed he's going to trouble you. That's why do not be passive, but be proactive. Christianity is a warfare. When you become born again, you step into a war zone. Unless power is used, demons will always cause trouble. Unless power is used, demons will always cause trouble. Matthew 11, 4 and 5 and 12. Matthew 11, 4 and 5 and 12. If you don't trouble the devil, he'll trouble you. He'll trouble you. So you're not doing yourself a favor by being passive. You are destroying yourself. You're not doing yourself a favor. There are people who say, word, no, just the word, you know, just talk the word, just preach the word, and you know. But there's something that they forget. In the scriptures, what is the metaphor for the word of God? The most popular metaphor for the word? Sword. Sword. The sword of the Spirit is not to chop vegetables. The sword of the Spirit is not to slice up meat. It's for warfare. It's for warfare. The word of God is for warfare. Christianity is a warfare. It's a sword. It's a sword. A sword of the Spirit. You don't use a sword in your kitchen. Use a knife. The word of God is not a knife. No, it's not a butcher's knife either. It's not a knife they use to slaughter animals. No, it's a sword. A sword is strictly for war. War. What does it tell you? We are in a war. That's why we are given the word, the sword. Come on. You can't send someone into war and don't equip them. You equip them. You give them the paraphernalia that they need. You give them the equipment, the armament. And key of this is the sword. They're attacking, they're destroying, they're killing. Weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. Christianity is a warfare. If you don't trouble the devil, he's going to trouble you. Haven't you heard people say, I digress. Haven't you heard people say, I just want a church where it's quiet and nothing happens. And they just preach the word and that everything is done and then we all go home. There's no diplomacy in war. There is no diplomatic war. War is dirty. I say war is dirty. Christianity is a warfare. War is dirty. Christianity is a warfare. It's a warfare. So we are saying, no, just give me the sword. For what? Let's give you a knife. You'll need it in the kitchen. You'll need it in the kitchen. You'll need it in your toolbox. You don't need a sword. The word is a sword. You can't change it. Matthew 11, 4 and 5 and 12. Jesus answered and he said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and the things which you see. The blind see and the lame walk. You're going to see that? He entered the territory. The stronger man, which is Jesus Christ, he always enter. He's always proactive. He always go for it. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse number 12, context. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Suffer the children to come. Let them come. Suffer the children to come. The kingdom of God suffereth, allows. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me give you my paraphrase of this. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is advancing in power. And the sons of the kingdom are taking ground from Satan. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the days of John the Baptist, they're not casting out devils. Remember, John the Baptist is standing between the Old and the New Testament. Says, from the days of John the Baptist until now. He's the one who heralded Jesus, who ushered Jesus, John the Baptist. But John the Baptist did not deliver anyone. He didn't. Hallelujah. But Jesus, who is on the scene, he says, the blind see, the lame walk. You did not see John opening the blind eyes. You never saw John causing the lame to walk. No, you never did. From the days of John the Baptist until now. Dispensation. Dispensation. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is advancing in power, and the sons of the kingdom are taking ground from Satan. They are taking territory by force. The violent take it by force. They are taken by force. Listen to me. The 70, they were sent into Satan's territory. Go and take it. The violent, the sons of God are the violent ones. They go into the enemy's territory. Why? Because Satan is the chief. He's the prince of violence. He's a strong man. He's a strong man of war. Now you need stronger ones. Satan is a strong man of war. Even Jesus, he talks of the devil as a strong man. He's not a weak man. He's not a feeble man. Satan is a strong man. The strong man. Now the sons of the kingdom are the violent ones. The stronger ones than he. How are we strong? In the name of Jesus. How are we strong? In the name of Jesus. How are we strong? In the name of Jesus. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is advancing in power. Advancing in power. And the sons of the kingdom are plundering. Are plundering. The sons of the kingdom are plundering. Listen to me. We talk about witnessing. We talk about evangelism without actually appreciating that that is actually serious warfare. And why don't we win as we ought to? Because we're not ready. We are soldiers not trained. We are soldiers not rightly appareled. We not dressed properly for war. That's why we come back, nothing happens. Understand the enemy you have to invade and take territory from. Do you know what is to overthrow? To overthrow. You enter into the place. If it's a country, you enter the country. If it's a kingdom, you enter the kingdom. You overpower every power of that kingdom, would overpower it. And you must make sure that we are stronger than the power of that kingdom to take over it. That's how it is with the kingdom of Satan. To take over another country. To take over another kingdom. You must make sure that your military power is superior to that of the country or the kingdom that you want to take over. Otherwise, that kingdom will deliver you. You're going to deliver it will deliver you. So make sure we are stronger and make sure that you are dressed properly, because that kingdom is going to retaliate. That kingdom is going to fight back. But if your head is not covered without a helmet, when your chest is exposed without a shield, when you don't have the right shoes and you are walking on landmines, can you see that? You're gonna die. That's why you must be rightly appareled, helmet in place, boots in place, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith in place, the belt of truth. And here's the thing. Without all of these things in place, that's why we go invade Satan's kingdom and we come back empty-handed. We enter warfare. Warfare. I'm going to say this again. I've said this many times before. The blessings of God are not in heaven, they're on earth. They're on earth. There is an occupying power that is occupying, is sitting on the blessings that does not belong to it rightfully. It's an occupying power. Satan is an occupying power. That's why he's got an appointed time. We read about this on Friday, that he has come down to the earth and is angry because his time is short. He's an occupying power. Occupying power is not permanent. It's occupying power, but it's sitting on the wealth that belongs to the citizens of that country. This occupying power is sitting on the wealth that belongs to the citizens of that kingdom. Now, that's why you need to be fully dressed with the whole armor to be able to go for what is yours. And even then, you have to be rightly aligned with your chief commander. Our chief commander is Jesus Christ. We need to be rightly aligned. We need to have a relationship with the chief commander. Why? So that we can be able to receive commands how to proceed. Every warfare that is fought, there is a strategy that is given. And all those that are fighting in the army, they follow that one strategy. And the CIC, the chief, the commander in chief, has got those that are under him who dispense, who transmit the commands from the top. That's how armies operate. That's how armies are effective. That's how armies win battles and they win wars. Am I talking to the people of God today? Am I talking to the people of God today? It's a serious issue. It's a serious matter. This issue of deliverance, this issue of deliverance, this, Satan has trivialized it. He has trivialized it. Look how the church looks at deliverance today. The devil has trivialized it. Because a lot of what we see to be deliverance is not deliverance at all. The devil has trivialized it. Trivialized it. Trivialized it. And that it works to his advantage. It works to his advantage. That's what he wants. It works to his advantage. How many Christians in the world today, because of all the gimmicks they've seen in church, how many Christians in the world today, they take deliverance seriously? Why? Because they've not seen the true deliverance. They've seen the gimmicks. Can you see that? They haven't seen the true deliverance. Because the true deliverance is by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. Cannot be gimmicks. Can't be theatrics. Oh, hallelujah. I saw a hallelujah. Matthew 12. That Matthew 12 is loaded. Very loaded. 43 to 45. When an unclean spirit, that's a demon, goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says to himself, I will return to my house from which I came. The demon calls the human body its own house. The human body. The preferred place of dwelling, preferred habitation for demons is human body. Preferred places of dwelling, places of habitation for demons is the human body. Please, let's know that. Let's know that. I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. He finds it what, church? Empty, swept, and put in order. Swept means clean. Now you see that demons are the reason, right? People desire and do filthy things. Demons are the reason. He says, when you cast out the devil, the person remains clean. But when the devil is in there, the person cannot be clean. He's filthy, full of corruption, full of uncleanness, full of unrighteousness. As long as the demon is there, full of wickedness. But when the demon is cast out, the person is left clean, swept and clean. And number two, it says, and put in order. Can you see that? Demons, they bring disorder. Now the person is put in order. So there was disorder when the devil was there. There was disorder when the demon was there. But when the demon goes out, which means it is cast out because it does not go out at will. There's no demon that leaves a person at will. There's no demon that comes out of a person at will. He says the strong man guarding his house. Guarding. Demons are there overarching. This is my house. This is my body. The demon is guarding this human being 24/7. A strong man guarding his house. Guarding his house. That's why the demon knows when you have got to go to the church where God is. He's going to play all sorts of tricks with you. Because the demon is guarding. Am I talking to somebody? When you have to go to the church where God is, the demon knows. Because demons are spiritual, so they see in the spirit. There's no barrier in the spirit. Even if you are going to a church in Mozambique, the demon that is here is able to see the church in Mozambique, but the demon is in South Africa. There's no barrier in the spirit. And the demon will begin to fight you from going to that place. guarding. When a strong man guards his house, it's guarding. It's guarding. And if you happen to prevail over that demon to go to that church, the demon will make sure that it causes trouble for you not to stay in that church. It's guarding. Hallelujah. It says, put in order. So demons, they bring disorder. They bring discomfort. They bring dis-ease. They bring suffering. They bring pain in the lives of human beings, in the lives of people. Suffering and pain. Sickness is suffering and pain. Disease is suffering and pain. It is suffering and pain. Diabetes is suffering and pain. Hypertension is suffering and pain. Cancer is suffering and pain. Whatever you call it is suffering and pain. But when the demon goes out, the body remains swept by God, left clean, put in order. And it says empty, that means it's vacant. You see, that is key. You see, this is where the Lord wants us to look at deliverance with serious eyes. That is key. When the demon goes out, the person remains vacant. That means there is no spiritual entity that is ruling this body. See? But the problem is, if this body remains empty, because the demon that has gone out, it will come back. That's why he says we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. I say that's why he says we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We must be filled. So don't deliver anyone, number one, who's not born again. Because what is going to fill the space? What is going to fill the space? Hallelujah. Number 45. Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell again in the same body. And the last state, that word is condition. The last condition, whatever the demon was causing in that body, the last condition of that man is worse than the first. It's worse than the first. The demon was cast out. When it comes back, it finds the person available. Empty, that means available. There's no occupant. There's no occupant. This body has got no occupant. So this person is available. And the Bible says, and the demon goes. When it finds there's availability, then it goes and it takes seven more other spirits. Why does the demon do that? Because it does not want to be cast out again. What is the demon doing? It's calling for backup. That's backup. Because Alona was kicked out. So if Alona was kicked out, I will be kicked out again. Right? So let me call for more armament. Can you see that? The demon that you cast out in December and it returned, you might not be able to cast out in April because now they are more than when you cast them out. You say, no. I used to fast for 3 hours and then it would leave. But when you allowed it to come back, there's more armament. Now you're busy fasting 3 hours, nothing happens. You're busy fasting 3 hours, nothing happened. See? That's why deliverance is by the Holy Spirit. It is not by common sense. I say it's not by common sense. It's by the Holy Spirit. Let's understand something. The key, why we're looking at how to maintain deliverance. A demon expelled will always come back. Whatever spirit you cast out of people, it will come back. The spirit of sickness you cast out, it will come back. But you see, that's why the person has got to be in Christ. The person has got to be full of the Holy Spirit. The person must not dabble in the kingdom of the devil. Must do nothing with the kingdom of Satan. That's where it becomes important. Because it's not deliverance for deliverance's sake. It's not deliverance. It is the results that count. What happens after the deliverance? And number two, how to maintain? If there's results, if there are fruits of the deliverance, how to maintain? How to maintain?